If you've ever thought, what can I do so that I can stop coming home to a wife that's freaking out or out of control, or there's way too much stress when I come home, or even if you've ever considered, is this our new life, or is there nothing we can do to make life a little easier for my wife? If you've ever even thought or considered those things, this program is for you. Hi, my name is Kyle Jetzel, and welcome to How to Satisfy Your Wife in the Right Way. And no, I'm not talking about sex. It's simply about helping her live her best life as we raise our kids, especially if you have kids on the autism spectrum. So a while back, I was chatting with a friend of mine who is coming home from work to turmoil and chaos in a way that he described as way too often. And just recently, he confided in me that he had some thoughts that he didn't like about his wife and his family. Thoughts like, I really don't like coming home, and I don't like this. This is not what I envisioned, and this is not what I signed up for. As he described what he was thinking, I realized at one point in my marriage, I had thought the same way, and I told him that. And once I did, he asked me what I had done to fix the situation. After our conversations, he said, this is fantastic stuff, Kyle. I love my wife, and I want her to be happy. I want to help, and now I've got a better idea of what I can do right now. Then he said, Kyle, you should share this with everybody. So here you go. I'm going to share with you how I went from being an autism husband and dad who really didn't like coming home from work and was ready to leave my family for good to a husband and dad who is in the top 1% happy marriage and top 1% happy family. So if that sounds like something you like to hear, if that sounds like something you want, you're in the right place. But before I share with you what I learned that turned it all around for us, I want to cover a few things up front. So I'm just guessing here, but I can imagine you've tried a lot of things to ease your wife's burden and help your wife manage the situation you're in, and this isn't your first shot at this. I want you to know that it's not your fault that you haven't been as successful as you've liked so far. There's a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of misinformation out there, especially if you have a unique family situation like we do. It can be confusing. So you need to know that what I'm going to share with you today is entirely different than anything you've ever heard before, and it works. Especially if you feel like she won't let you help, or she won't listen to you, or she says you don't understand. Can you tell I've experienced all that? And if you've been concerned that nothing will work because she or you can't manage your emotions or have past experiences holding you or her back, maybe you're just not equipped to help. I'm here to let you know that you can overcome that because we did. And my wife had all those issues, and I did too. Listen, the doctors and experts and therapists out there, they don't know what I'm about to share with you because they're not living the lives we live. They don't get what it's like to raise these kinds of kids. I mean, you've probably even already did what we did. We spent thousands on those doctors and specialists and therapists, and we're still struggling. They weren't teaching what we needed to know so that we could thrive as a family. And that's what you'll learn today. So that's what we're here for. I know you had a dream to be a happy, thriving family and come home to a wife that was happy to see you and appreciate all your efforts. And I'm going to show you how you can make that happen, even as you raise your kids on the spectrum. So if you're here to finally figure out how to support your wife and family in a way that makes them feel happy and fulfilled so that you can feel happy and fulfilled at home too, you're in the right spot. Whether you're new to this world or you've been in it a while and want to see your family happier, and even for those of you who have just given up trying since it seems like it's impossible, this is for you. I'm going to show you how by applying this information, you'll be finally able to build the kind of relationship and family that you love to be around and that loves being around you. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Kyle Jetzel, and I'm a happily married father of six. My kids' ages range from 25 to 12-year-old twins. My two oldest sons are typical boys. My two middle sons are on the autism spectrum. One is considered more severe and still struggles mightily to this day. And then I have 12-year-old twins. And yes, one is a girl. So five boys and one girl. Quite a crew. So for the past 15 years, we've been studying and learning and then teaching parents how to thrive as they raise their kids on the spectrum. We've written books, spoken at events, we've blogged, we've vlogged, and we have a podcast and Facebook pages that are designed to help families do what we do, and that is to thrive in chaos and build wonderfully happy families. Even though we have kids on the autism spectrum that still struggle occasionally, we have what most people want. We have a family, and I have a marriage that is what we consider to be in the top 1% of happy marriages and families. I come home to a wife that feels happy and fulfilled. But it wasn't always that way. There was a time when we were in real trouble as a family. I can vividly remember how my son's autism meltdowns were constantly triggering her, my wife's meltdowns, and she was triggering mine. What seemed like every day I'd come home to a wife that was way out of sorts. Many times, I'd catch her watching out the window to see when I rolled up. And when I'd see this, I'd get a pit in my stomach. I'd start thinking stuff like, okay, what's happened this time? Maybe I should have worked late. It sure would be easier. But once she saw me, it was too late. And basically, it was the same thing every time. At the time, four sons, two of them on the autism spectrum, seemed to be too much for her to handle. Almost every day I'd come home to a fight or overwhelming crying or a wife ready to check out. All too common, I'd come home to her screaming something like, I can't take this anymore. That wasn't the woman I married. Keep in mind, with our first two sons, it all seemed to be going okay. We'd read all the books and applied parenting strategies that were working okay. They were pretty good kids. We were having lots of fun. There was a lot of love in our home, and we seemed to be creating the kind of family I dreamed about. Then my number three and number four sons were born, and after a few years, the dynamic started to change. Initially, we just thought we'd lost all ability to parent. It seemed like nothing we were doing was working. None of the parenting books were any help. They were over-the-top defiant, unable to follow simple directions, doing things that were way out of line, and frankly, turning our home into what seemed like a war zone. So when we finally got the first of the two autism diagnoses, we were relieved. Now we can get them the help they need and start to restore our happy home. At least, that's what we thought. We took them to therapy after therapy and specialist after specialist and autism expert after expert. Oh yeah, it was a freaking nightmare getting them there. We tried special diets, a nightmare, ABA, that was a horrible idea for us, and even had their poop analyzed in France. And none of it was helping. The meltdowns continued and the stress was out the roof. Was this our new life? My wife was struggling, our parenting styles clashed, we were becoming more and more distant, and it was having a major impact on our happiness. And coming home to this all the time? Well, it was making me miserable. Now don't get me wrong, I love my wife and kids, but I really didn't want to be there. I'd wake up dreading the possibilities of what may happen that day. Sometimes it felt like my world was caving in around me. At work, all my hard work was making me successful. But at home, I felt like a failure, no matter what I tried. Then one Saturday morning at about 6:30 a.m., it took a turn to even worse. We were awakened by one of my sons on the spectrum in full-on meltdown mode. He was running through the house, screaming and kicking and punching and knocking things over, and the normal things we tried to get him to calm down weren't working. Normally, a meltdown might last from 10 to 90 minutes. This one lasted 4 hours. My two oldest typical sons were cowering in fear in their room. It felt like the house was on fire, being hit by an earthquake, and being struck by tornadoes all at the same time. By the time we finally got him calmed down for good, my son had smashed his head through a glass window, and especially my wife's nerves, were somewhere between frayed and fried. And that's when the real trouble started. My wife turned on me, blaming and pointing the finger at me. If you would have done this, he would have calmed down faster. You always make it worse. Sometimes I wish you weren't here. I think sometimes we want someone to blame when things go wrong, and she was blaming me. Well, after a while of this back and forth, I simply couldn't take it anymore, and I decided to go outside and cool off. I grabbed my car keys, I went out the front door onto the lawn, and stared at my car. I never signed up for this. I can't handle it. She doesn't appreciate me at all. Nothing I do seems to make her happy. I'm going to get in my car and drive, and I'm going to keep on going. I'm done. I can't live this way anymore. Then suddenly, a memory popped into my mind. I thought about something my dad had told me after I made an error in a baseball game that had cost my team a sure victory. Humiliated and embarrassed, I told my dad that I wished the ball had never come to me. That way, we wouldn't have lost the game. No, my dad said, if you're going to fail, fail on your own terms. Don't run and hide. Fight. His words rang in my head. If you're going to fail, fail on your own terms. Don't run and hide. Fight. Of course, I was willing to fight for the happiness of my family, but what could I do? I'd already tried everything. So I did something else my dad had taught me. I turned to God. I fell to my knees in prayer and begged God for help, right there under a big pecan tree in the front yard. I told God that I was willing to stay and fight, but that none of the methods or solutions I had were helping. I needed guidance on what I could do differently. Was I destined to this hardship, this life of hardship and misery? God's simple answer? The problem isn't your sons, and it's not your wife. Your family needs you. You can figure this out. Don't give up. Don't leave. Go back and fight for the happiness of your family. So I immediately went back inside and apologized to Shelley, and I decided from that day forward, I would work and do everything in my power to better support my wife and sons on the spectrum. And as I adjusted my approach, each time I'd find out what was not helping, I started to actually discover answers. I knew that my sons on the spectrum lacked the capacity to understand how to control their emotions and make sense of their world. I knew their lives were every bit as frustrating as mine and my wife's, probably even more. And I learned that my wife needed a different kind of support from me, and I would never give up trying to figure out how to help her and get the kind of training and tools she needed and I needed so that I could learn how to manage, so that she could learn how to manage her emotions when things spiraled out of control. You see, when my sons experienced difficulties, it triggered a fight or flight response in them, usually fight. But more importantly, I realized that when my sons experienced difficulties, it triggered the same fight or flight instinct in my wife. Sometimes fight, but all too often flight. In other words, their outbursts were triggering her outbursts. When they'd struggle, she'd struggle right along with them. And that's what I was coming home to almost every day, an exhausted, frustrated, unhappy, stressed out wife. Here was the difference. She had the capacity to choose her response. They didn't, at least not at that time. So I went to work searching for and eventually finding the answers that solved the problems. Now when I come home from work, it's a completely different story, and I've got my wife back. Now don't get me wrong, it wasn't easy. It took a lot of time, and I made a lot of mistakes along the way, but it was all worth it. The cool part? We now have a family that is in the top 1% of happy families, and my wife and I have a marriage that is in the top 1% of happy marriages, even though our kids on the spectrum still have faced difficulties. The cooler part is that now I can share with you what we did, so you can model for you what we did as a family and get back to coming home to a happy wife too. And it wasn't just me and my wife. Check out what Susan had to say. Susan said, "What would you tell someone who was experiencing more stress than they deserved, but wouldn't act? This can be applied every day of life. Kyle, your program has not only assisted me in caring for my Elliot, I have become more confident in all areas of my life. The simple truth that you share that can so easily be applied changes lives if they work it. Everything seems difficult at first, but as you keep working it, the results are so worth it. I'm so blessed by your program. It has become a part of me." And that's just one success. Imagine it was your wife saying something like that. Want to know what I did? Great. That's what we'll cover next. Welcome back. So far, we've covered some of the issues we were facing and all the stress it was causing in our family. So now I want to share with you some unique things I learned and cover a few details that no one else will even address. Why? Because it's generally not okay to talk about this stuff. But I'm not only going to talk about it, but also share what I did to fix some of the problems we were struggling with. I'll call them the three secrets that helped us turn the tide for our family and allowed us to get back the happiness that we were missing. Now, some of these things we're going to cover will sound counterintuitive at first, but if you stay with me, you'll find that most of what I'm going to talk about is going to be self-evident once you learn it all, and it will take some effort from you, Dad. But I'm guessing you're already putting in a lot of effort, so I'll just be asking you to change your approach and focus on a different kind of effort. Are you with me? So let's now start with secret number one. Secret number one is she didn't want me to fix it. She wanted me to work at it and help her find out it can be fixed and with the right training and tools and lead her in the right direction. So let me explain this. One of the things I really struggled with was this. I knew that if she just better managed her emotions when things went wrong, she'd find herself happier more consistently. I'd seen it and she'd done it. All women have done it at least once, right? Well, my wife, more than once or twice, when things would go wrong with our two oldest typical sons, she would get focused on staying calm and doing what was best for the kids and our family, and she'd be happy with her success. It would build her confidence. But when our kids on the spectrum came along, all that seemed to go out the window. Was it the amount of times it was happening? Was it the intensity? Was she just losing the ability to properly manage? I wasn't sure. But what I was sure of was that what I was trying to do to help wasn't helping, and my questioning her wasn't helping either. Turns out, my thoughts about the situation were sabotaging any chance I had to help her. During times of stress, I'd have thoughts like, she just won't listen to me. How can I help if she won't even listen? She never takes any advice I give, and I know it would help. She can't cope. Maybe she's nuts. She's past help. There's too much baggage in her past to change. Or she's too emotional. Her emotions are making the situation worse. You may have even think some things like this yourself, but I'm guessing They're at least a bit like these things. But then I found some research that made me completely change my tune about how I viewed my wife and her struggles. Turns out there's this guy from Washington State University, a psychologist named John Gottman, that has tested over 1,500 couples that were early in their marriages. And after watching just 15 minutes of their simple interactions, he can, with 95% accuracy, tell if they'll still be married in 15 years. Well, I wanted to stay married, and I'm hoping you do too. So I researched some more and discovered he could boil it all down to one word as to why those marriages didn't last. That word? Contempt. But not outward contempt, but an inward, subconscious contempt for all those he had tested. So I looked up a definition and it said contempt is, number one, the feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration, worthless, or deserving scorn. And number two, a disregard for something that should be taken into account. And some synonyms were harsh, disdain, disrespect, disregard, scorn, slighting. Wow, it hit me like a ton of bricks when I then reviewed my thoughts about my wife. Remember those thoughts? Yeah, they weren't very good. She can't cope. Maybe she's nuts. She's past help. She's got too much baggage in her past to change. Or she's too emotional. Her emotions are making the situation worse. Now that's some serious subconscious contempt, huh? So the first thing I did was decide to rethink those thoughts into something that helped me learn to help her. I called it from frustration to fascination. Instead of getting frustrated when I see her struggling and start to turn on me, I decided to be fascinated by it. So instead of thinking she can't cope, maybe she's nuts, or she's past help, or she's got too much baggage in her past to change, or even she's too emotional, her emotions are making the situation worse, I started to consider maybe she wants me to help, but she doesn't know what to ask for. Or maybe she wants me to help, but she doesn't know what tools and strategies will work for her. Or maybe she wants me to help, she just doesn't believe that help even exists. And how can I help her find it? And not her emotions are a powerful force. She wants to learn how to use her emotions in the right way. How can I help her find that? And that put me to work looking for answers. And those answers led me down some pretty cool paths. The best path of all was now, when I'd come home and she was struggling, instead of thinking, oh great, this again, in my mind I'd think, I want to help her find the tools and answers. Then I'd just listen with that in mind. And later, as my wife would ask me, what you doing or what you thinking, I could reply with, I'm thinking about or looking for strategies and ways to help us help them. And as I found these things, she was excited and hopeful that I was at least trying. But just when I thought I was onto something, I was shot down. Check this out. I'll never forget the day I met Dustin in an autism forum, and this was before social media. And he shared with me a strategy that he had used that had solved a serious problem that we were struggling with. So like a good husband, I presented it to my wife to see what she thought. Well, before I could even finish, she angrily said, that won't work for us. Our kids are different. And basically, she shut it all down. I was kind of shocked, and it made me consider something I hadn't before. I considered, was there a chance she wouldn't listen to me no matter what I said? So I tried something. I wrote up the strategy just a little bit differently on a piece of paper and slipped it into an autism book I had on my shelf and waited until a few weeks later. And then again, I walked up to my wife. I opened the book in a way where she couldn't see what I was reading and read basically the same strategy I had shared with her before. And she loved it. Will you do it with me? I asked. She said, absolutely. Let's do it together so we're consistent with them. And that's when I realized I had lost the ability to influence her. New and different ideas couldn't come from me, no matter how great they were. Looking back now, I realize why. See, for years I had approached her from a contempt standpoint. I was approaching her as if I had lost faith in her ability, and she felt it. And then she had done the same with me. She had lost faith in me. When I had come home and not listened to her and not responded in a helpful manner and not supported her in the way she needed to be supported, she had assumed I was the problem. So here's the question. Could that be happening to you? Here's what was really cool. As I found and presented more resources to share with her, and as I implemented them myself, and she saw how I was handling things better, that's when there became a real change. Let me give you a few examples. One of the problems we had was this. We knew that when our kids melted down, when they were at their worst, is when they needed us to be at our best for them. But that was when it was the hardest, right? So we found a strategy that we implemented that taught us how to do that. And once I and my wife learned it could be done, she started to fully adopt it. Another problem we had was that neither of us came from perfect backgrounds. We had baggage, and sometimes that baggage would hold us back from thinking we were capable. So we found a strategy that we implemented that taught us how to overcome some of our past experiences. And once I and my wife learned how we could do that, we were able to better make decisions. And this hasn't just worked for us. Check out what Lauren had to say. Lauren said, "If anyone is wondering if they can do this, because Lord knows I made so many excuses for why this wouldn't work for me, you can. I've got my daughter on the spectrum who also has cerebral palsy, and my almost 17-month-old. I am a stay-at-home mom, and my husband works long hours, so most of the time I am on my own. I am extremely high-strung, and it was a my-way-or-the-highway type of person. Can you say tension? I am 1 week into this program, and we've had frustrations, but no meltdowns. My sweet girl, who throws furniture, bites, hits, scratches, and headbutts, has not hurt herself or anyone else." What? We went from filling a prescription for a mood stabilizer to having no meltdowns. That's just crazy. This program works if you work it. And this happened in the first week for Lauren. Isn't that cool? It changed us, and it started to change our self-worth, our confidence, and our level of happiness. But we were still missing one thing, and that's what we'll cover next in secret number two. Welcome back. So now that we've covered secret number one and how that started to change us, I want to cover what we found we were really missing in all this. And that is secret number two. Secret number two is we had to focus on less information so we could internalize what we were learning together to get on the same page. Confused? Less information to get more impact? We were too. But check this out. One of the problems we had was that our heads were full of information, but when things weren't going the way we thought was right, we'd assume we needed more or different information. More and more and more information. It's everywhere, right? We're bombarded with millions of bits of information from experts, doctors, specialists, therapists, YouTube, Facebook, articles, webinars, magazines, books, and more books. So much information. It's overwhelming, right? But here's the problem with that. Too much information and always looking for more will strangle and paralyze us and will keep us from applying what we already know. So how did we learn how to protect ourselves from information overload? How did we siphon out only the key nuggets of content that were able to push us farther and faster and shelve everything else that would cause overwhelm and confusion? Here's what we did. We created a plan to implement fewer strategies together, but it wasn't easy. First of all, the information was scattered. It was everywhere. It was like we read the whole Harry Potter series of books, all 7 of them, and then were asked to remember one detail from one book in the correct order, and that was all during a meltdown. Then I remembered a few years earlier when I had learned a valuable lesson about internalizing information and making it a part of who we are as a person. You see, at the time, I was at work, and I entered my boss's office to discuss a client. After making a few statements, my boss said, "You're only saying that because you're a pessimist." So I replied, "No, I know this guy, and this is what he does. I'm a realist." To which he replied back, "That's what all pessimists call themselves. They call themselves realists." Well, I was not happy. So I went out and found a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. And over the course of a week or so, I read it. Bam, there you go. Now I'm an optimist, I thought. Until I found myself back in my boss's office discussing the same client a few weeks later. After a few statements I thought were okay, my boss said it again. "There you go, being a pessimist." Now I was really not happy. I'd already read the book, right? I knew the information, but here was the problem. Just because you know something doesn't mean you do it. So I hatched a plan to internalize the information. Sound familiar? I went back to my book and broke it apart into 10 separate lessons. Then I created a worksheet for each lesson, and each week I focused on the specific worksheet and that one part of the lesson. Week one, I printed out my worksheet and I filled it out and I put it by my bed and I focused entirely on that one portion. Week two, I did the same with lesson two. Week three, lesson three. On and on until after 10 weeks when I had covered each lesson. You get it, right? But it didn't take that long for others and even my boss to see the difference in me. You see, once I started placing a weekly focus on one thing, and that one thing became part of the core of who I was. So I thought, why not import that process into our family? So we did. My wife and I started by creating a few rules for everything we discussed. First and foremost, we wanted to keep our focus on how can we effectively serve our boys on the spectrum, give them a safe place to explore their potential, and help them achieve their full potential. And we knew handling them in a calm way was vital. So we made up some ground rules to guide us, and our three rules became: we will always do what's best for our kids on the spectrum, even if it's really hard. We will always do what's best for our family, even if it's really hard. And we will always act in a spirit of love, especially when it's really hard. Did you catch that? Acting in a spirit of love every time was a key to our success. So with these three rules in place, every Sunday night we met as a family, and in 15 minutes we did three things. First, we asked ourselves, what did we do right last week in reference to our weekly focus? And we wrote it on the back of our weekly worksheet. Then we asked ourselves, what could we have done better? And we wrote it on the back of our weekly worksheet. And finally, we looked at our new weekly focus, each completed our worksheet and kept it next to our beds so we could remember our focus for the week. Make sense? That's how we did it. For years and years, every Sunday night, week after week, after week, then months, then years. We made mistakes, we learned what didn't work, and then we learned what did work. And that's what we kept. And that's what we internalized. And as we started to internalize and consistently started making good decisions and doing things the right way during escalations, we realized how important it was that we were on the same page. No kidding, my wife and I were agreeing on how we'd manage situations almost every time because we'd worked at it together. And that was huge for our relationship and our kids on the spectrum. Here's what we started to understand. Our kids, especially the ones on the spectrum, needed consistency from both of us every time. They got the same patience, strategies, and consequences, both good and bad, from both of us. And we were consistent. Here's what we learned that was so cool about that. The more we came together and were united and consistent in our parenting styles, the more my sons learned how to manage themselves. Did you catch that? In more simple words, together we changed the way we reacted to unwanted and bad behaviors, and then we created consistent consequences so that they learned to better manage themselves moving forward. And a few crazy side effects started to happen. One, I'll never forget the day I came home to my wife who was looking out the window and watching for me. But this time, instead of a scowl on her face, she was smiling. Then when I walked in, she hugged me and with a smile on her face told me how she'd managed a difficult meltdown during the day. Then she said something even more surprising. She said, "I learned something today. My emotions are good if I use them in the right way. If my emotions make things worse for me or the kids, then I'm hurting the family and I need to rethink how I'm thinking." Say what? Or the time I came home from work and I met my wife at the door and she hugged me real tight and said, "I'm so glad you're home. You're the best husband and dad ever. The kids were a bit tricky today, so would you mind watching them for a little while so I can escape and recharge? I love you so much." Well, I feel like a hero, so I said, "Heck yeah, take as long as you need." Well, I'm a bit ashamed to say this, but it took her doing this to me a few more times before I realized she was manipulating me to get away and escape. But I didn't care because she made me feel like she was happy and I was helping. And that's all we really want from our wives, right? To know we make them happy and that we're helpful. But the most dramatic example of internalizing and working together was the time my typical twins, who were about 7 at the time, came running down the stairs with tears in their eyes. With compassion in her voice, my wife, Shelley, asked in her sweet southern accent, "What's wrong, monkeys?" Their reply through tears: "Eric called us morons." Well, my wife handled it like a champ. She grabbed them both. She wrapped her arms around them and squeezed them tight. Then she leaned back, looked at them with a big smile on her face, and in her deep southern accent, she almost yelled, "Well, y'all are the cutest little morons I've ever seen." Their tears immediately disappeared, and they all started laughing really hard. Then my wife pulled them back in close and said, "Remember what we talked about?" And then she went on to reshare with them a discussion we'd had in one of our family meetings. She even grabbed the worksheet we had created and helped each of them fill it out again. Just a few days later, no kidding, they came down the stairs with big smiles on their faces and giggling. Well, because that usually means they're up to something, I said, what are you guys giggling about? That's when they said, as they smiled from ear to ear, Eric called us morons. Then they laughed. Wait, what? I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about what happens in your home when one of your kids calls another a name, especially if your child on the spectrum is part of it. They start to argue, maybe scream, maybe fight, maybe meltdowns. Then you have to start trying to figure out what happened. Who started this? What happened? Can you not fight for a few minutes? Come on. Then it escalates, everyone is mad, names are called, and the stress goes through the roof. Well, compare that to what my twins did. My twins had lowered stress and added joy to our family just because they had learned what to do, knew exactly what to do when it happened, and did it. And it was modeled for them by their mom. Wow. And not just my kids and not just my wife. Check out what other moms had to say. Here's Lauren. Lauren said, seriously, I could kick myself for waiting so long to request a call with you. For years, I've been working on fixing our daughter, when really, if I had been working on myself and how I handle stress, most of the tension wouldn't even have been there at all. I don't have to worry about my daughter knowing I love her because my actions now show it. I can't even comment without sounding like a salesperson because that's how excited I am about what's been happening in our family in the last week. And listen to what Lisa had to say. Lisa said, hi, Kyle. The first day of implementing, I noticed a difference. The first thing she did when she got off the bus was swat at my head. Instead of correcting her, I realized she's just tired and anxious and baiting me. Since my mindset was different this day, instead of jumping on her for screaming at me and her language, I busted into laughter. The look on her face was priceless. She was confused at first. Then she smiled. Then she tried to bait me again. But then finally she calmed down and then started to laugh with me. The anxiety melted away and there were no more behaviors that evening. Are you getting this? It's awesome how these wives are changing their approach and getting this kind of success, huh? And that's what you and your wife and kids can expect too, if you internalize the information by devoting 15 minutes per week and then making that your focus. Have you ever heard of Alex Honnold? If not, he's the world's most renowned free solo climber. What is a free solo climber? It's a person that climbs mountains and cliffs alone with no ropes. Yeah, you heard that right. No ropes or any kind of safety equipment that will protect him from a fall. Nothing. Not a single thread of safety equipment. And he climbs the steepest, slickest, scariest mountains you can imagine, like Yosemite's El Capitan, a 3,000-foot wall of granite. So how does he do it? By not panicking. If you're properly trained, one sound rock climbing decision is simply not that hard to make. Just keep doing what you're doing, Alex says. He says that he's not an exceptionally powerful climber, and his fingers aren't the best, but he has an amazing ability to keep from melting down. Thousands of times per climb, the choice is make a good, sound rock climbing decision or die. Does Alex get tired? Of course. Climbing a half-mile tall sheer cliff is exhausting. Does Alex get nervous or scared? Absolutely. Imagine you slide your hand into a crack to get a hold and it has a spider in it with no place to go and ready to defend its space with a bite. It's happened. Or you place your toe on a foothold only to find it's wet with morning dew. Yep, if you slip, you die. But he doesn't panic. He doesn't melt down. Did you catch that? He doesn't melt down when things get hard. He calmly turns to his training. Time and time again, through hundreds of days of climbing per year, he doesn't die. One good little decision after another, many thousands of them cling together to form the closest thing he has to a safety net. Just keep going and don't self-defeat. Think about that. With the right training and that kind of sustained, consistent effort, Honnold says, really hard things are doable, just like you can do too. So that now that we've covered secret one and secret two, let's cover secret number three. Welcome back. So now that we've covered secret number one and secret number two and how that has turned our family around, let's talk about secret number three, and that is this. We learned together that we were the problem. I'll never forget when Eric, the older of our two on the spectrum, the less verbal, more severe, hit puberty and became aggressive to the point where my wife was scared to be left alone with him. At one point, he had a violent meltdown during which he took a swing at me. I was able to duck out of the way, but the punch still caught me square in the ear, hard enough to draw blood. Fireworks of pain went off in my head, and my rage started to boil over. I was ready to hurt him and put an end to all this forever. But instead, I caught myself. I made a choice. I refused to get sucked into the conflict. Instead of striking back, I remember I looked at my son with tears in my eyes, and I gently said, "Please don't hit me. I love you." It was a turning point for both of us, and my wife, she witnessed it all. That's when I started to clearly realize that when I changed my patterns of behavior in response to his patterns of behavior, things started to dramatically improve for both of us. More importantly, that's when my wife started to clearly realize that just like me, when she changed her patterns of behavior in response to his patterns of behavior, things started to dramatically improve for both of them. When we together stopped trying to force him to change his behavior and instead started to focus on changing how we reacted to his behavior automatically changed for the better because his meltdowns were causing our meltdowns, which led to more of his meltdowns and our meltdowns. Once we broke the cycle by changing our patterns, his patterns changed for the better as well, and we started to escape the vicious cycle. You know, we thought we were so different as a family, and we were. We have 6 kids with our 2 middle sons that are on the spectrum at different levels. So because we thought we were so different, we assumed we'd need some sort of magnificently unique program just designed for us with a unique set of strategies and techniques and ideas. We were wrong. What we needed was to internalize principles that helped us better manage ourselves when things got hard. When my more severe son Eric was a little boy, one of the ways I rewarded him for good behavior was to take him to McDonald's for French fries. As it turns out, the French fries regularly came way too hot to eat immediately. So I developed for him what I called the French fry cool down method, and I would crank up the air conditioner to full blast and showed him how to hold the French fry in front of the blower until it cooled down. Then he would pop them into his mouth and smile. Then one day, I looked over and I saw him performing the French fry cool down method perfectly. What a smart little kid, I thought. He's getting it. But then I noticed a few problems. First, the air conditioner wasn't even on. And second, the French fry wasn't even hot. He was performing the strategy perfectly, but he didn't understand the underlying principles that needed to be in place for the strategy to work. That's what we needed to understand before all the autism strategies and therapies and tactics and techniques would work. We needed to learn and internalize the grounding principles of thoughtfully and patiently parenting our kids on the spectrum before any strategies and techniques would work. And the number one most important principle we learned was this. When our kids are overwhelmed by big emotions or tipped into meltdowns, it was our job to help them calm themselves, not join in their chaos. No strategy worked when as a parent we were frustrated or angry or discouraged, but almost all strategies worked when we were patient and kind and loving. This is how you can ensure a program will work for your family too, because we have all the control. If we can learn to control ourselves, and we all can, then we all can do this. It's not as much about your child's diagnosis or their behavior as it is about our behavior in response to their behavior, and we have control of our behavior, right? Well, maybe not so much. At least I didn't. Not until I learned how to control my behavior when times get really tough. Like Sarah said, I started to believe that this was my new life, a life of stress and meltdown after meltdown. But after watching your videos and seeing your success, I started to change my thought process. I knew I had to stop being so negative and kept saying to myself, I can do this. I've been through a lot and I got through worse things in my life. I started to believe, and the day I started to believe was a huge weight off my shoulders, as now I feel more relaxed and in control. He still has meltdowns, but I feel I'm able to cope better now than I was. The stress has been lowered just by changing my thought process, and I know if you can do that, anyone can. You just have to believe in yourself. Here's the great part. We spent 15 years figuring this all out, and we've done it. We have what you want. You don't have to read all the books and do all the research and fail and fail and fail before you get it right. You and your spouse can plug right into a system that has been proven over and over again to work. And the cool part, it doesn't matter what behaviors you're facing or what size your family is or even what the diagnosis is, because it's not built around fixing your kids. You heard what the other moms are saying, right? Remember? Just now, Sarah said, "Now I feel more relaxed and in control, He still has meltdowns, but I feel I'm able to cope better now than ever before. And earlier in the program, when Lauren said, for years we'd been working on fixing our daughter, when really, if I had been working on myself and how I handle stress, most of the tension wouldn't have been there at all. And Lisa, who said that because of how she had now reacted, her daughter's anxiety had melted away and the behaviors had stopped. Remember those ladies? They did it. You can too. Of course, you could do it the other way, the way we did, but it's slow, expensive, and really hard. So if you'd like to shortcut the process like these other families did, we've got something special for you. But before I tell you about what we put together, I want to share with you something that is important to know, a warning of sorts. And here's the warning. Many people will tell you they can help you. Few really can. How can you know the difference? Here's how. Make sure that anyone that says they can help you has actually done it. Done what, you might ask? Do they have kids on the spectrum? Were they struggling as a family? Have they figured out a way to solve the issues you're facing? And can they show you step by step how to do it yourself? Do they have a recipe that's been proven to work over and over for families that are struggling? And most importantly, can you see their family now so that you know they're living the life you want to live? If even one of those questions can't be answered in the way that proves their competency, you've found the wrong model to pursue. That's how you can know if someone can help you. So with that out of the way, is it okay if I share with you the programs we put together to help you get the results we've gotten, only faster? If not, I hope this information has been helpful, and I simply want to say, I hope the best for you and your family, and I hope you've gotten some serious value from this. If you are interested, that's great. You're the kind of person we look forward to helping, and we can't wait to share with you what we've put together. Welcome back. If you're still here, that excites me. That means you're interested in helping and you're willing to do what it takes to help your wife and family live their best life. We want to help you do just that. You know, I'll never forget the day I came home to find my wife in the living room crying. So it seems a lady, Annette was her name, had sent my wife an email while I was at work. And when I got home that day, my wife was in tears. Annette's story was heart-wrenching for my wife. And as I walked in, she literally yelled at me, "We've got to do more. Too many families need what we know." So I replied, "I think I'm doing everything I know how." We'd written books and guides. We'd done audio programs. We'd done presentations at autism conferences and had a Facebook page with over 15,000 followers, mostly women. We'd even had a production company call us and want to do a TV show about our family. "Well, what else am I supposed to do?" I said. She said, "I don't care. Figure it out, Kyle." Because I love my wife and will do anything for her, I started thinking about and presenting ideas to her. "What if I did this? What about that? Maybe this." "That won't work. That's not enough. That's too confusing. Make it easier. Make it so they can't not do it." Those were a few of her replies, and some of those replies more than once. Finally, one day, she asked me a question that changed my approach to the problem when she said, "What would you give them that would almost guarantee, if they did it, that they'd get the same results as us?" My answer? Well, they can't sit in our past family meetings. I'm not sure what that would be. But the more I thought about it, the clearer a vision I had of what would work. When I finally outlined it all and showed it to Shelley, she said, "That's it. That will work." So that's what I'm going to show you now, if that's okay with you. Is that okay? Good. So here's what we've done. We've mirrored exactly what we did each and every week. I mean, minus all the things we tried that didn't work. It's like you are sitting in on our family meetings. So how do we do that? Simple. We've created what we call the Thrive in Chaos Insider Membership Club. And the very day you start, you immediately get a full copy of our 245-page book, Thrive in Chaos, in an ebook format and two MP3 audio programs. The same book you can get on Amazon for $19.99. And the two audio programs, they're 70-minute each, are called Thrive in Chaos and Laugh With Me. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail here, but the Thrive in Chaos 70-minute audio covers a few grounding principles that will help you jumpstart your success. We've had parents listen to it while they drove, while they worked, and Janet, one of our members now, says she listens to it while she sleeps. She says to internalize it. Tamara even suggested it boosts her spirits and prepares her for the day's events, no matter what may happen. That's what you'll get with the Thrive in Chaos audio program. Now, the Laugh With Me 70-minute audio program is chock full of crazy, wacky, and funny stories that will keep you smiling, let you in on some of the zany experiences we've had as a family, and maybe even sound familiar to some experiences you've had. Alana, just 2 weeks after experiencing a full-blown anxiety attack that sent her to the hospital, she started listening with her husband to laugh with me, and she described it like this. We were laughing so hard that we had tears running down our faces, not just because the stories were funny, but because we were laughing with relief and a new realization that what we were experiencing is normal in our situation. It's so nice to know that others have gone through this journey and have come out with their sanity and marriage still intact. Now, if you bought all these separately, you'd pay more than $37, but that's more than you'll pay just to get started if you decide to start today. If you decide to start today, we're also going to throw in our 6-module introductory video classes with their worksheets worth $997 and our 6-module experts video classes with their worksheets worth $997, all for less than you pay just for the ebook and 2 audio programs. What's in these video classes? Everything you'll need to start thriving if you'll simply apply what you'll learn. So each video lesson falls into one of 3 categories. Category 1, making your past an asset. Category 2, thriving chaos. And category 3, creating a compelling future. I don't know about you, but my parents and my wife's parents weren't perfect. Sometimes events in our past can prevent us from feeling like we're properly equipped to be successful. In the Category 1, Making Your Past an Asset series of videos, we help you create new beliefs that you can become successful, no matter what your past experiences were. So a lot of people talk about what you should do when it gets hard. In the Category 2, Thriving Chaos series of videos, we show you step-by-step what you need to do when things go haywire. The result? When they're at their worst, you can be at your best. Now, anybody can do something hard for a minute or maybe an hour, maybe even a day. But when you start talking about weeks or months or years or a lifetime, the thought can be simply overwhelming. In Category 3, Creating a Compelling Future series of videos, you'll understand how to wake up with a smile on your face every day and know that you can endure with happiness and joy. Now you can see why this information is so valuable. And that's why the 12-module video course is normally valued at almost $2,000. So now, along with the ebook and the 2 audio programs, we're at a total value of more than $2,000. And remember, the sole purpose of these courses are to help you lower stress and regain some normality in your home. Imagine that, coming home to a wife that's handling things well. Doesn't that sound nice? But that's not all. We'll also throw in full email access during the program, a value of another $997. And if you'll add your phone number when you sign up, and if it's okay, I'll maybe even give you a call. I do that for fun and to get to know families better. And it's kind of something my wife likes me to do, and I think it's a good idea. Plus, you'll gain access to become a fully vested insider member and continue to get video worksheet training as long as you stay active. So what does that mean? Simple. As long as you're a member in good standing, you'll get weekly videos and worksheets for as long as you'd like. So you get 2 audio programs and an ebook, a 6-module introductory video classes and worksheets, a 6-module expert video classes and worksheets, plus bonus number 1 is ongoing email access to me, plus bonus number 2 is once a week insider videos for as long as you stay active. And the total value of all that is over $5,000. Now, let me ask you a question. What's it worth to you to come home from work to a happy, fulfilled wife? A wife that has learned how to lower stress and regain some normality in your home? Or better yet, what's a little bit of peace worth to you and her? As you already know, we spent way more than $5,000. Truth be told, we spent way more than $10,000 and even 10 times that. And it was more than worth every penny to us. So what if I told you it was possible to get all this for less than $1 a day? Would it be worth it to you? Well, normally this program costs $99 a month, but during this special promotion we're doing right now, the cost of our entire program is only $27 per month. For $27, you're a full-fledged member to a program that helps thousands of families start to lower stress, regain some normality, and thrive in chaos as you raise your kids on the spectrum. And dads are now coming home to a happy wife. It sounds crazy, but it's true. And if that sounds interesting to you, go to www.thriveinchaos.net/dad to get started. Remember, you get 2 audio programs and an ebook, a 6-module introductory video classes and worksheets, a 6-module expert video classes and worksheets, plus bonus number 1 is ongoing email access to me, Plus, bonus number two is Insider Membership. Once a week, Insider videos and worksheets forever, as long as you stay active. The total value, again, is over $5,000 for less than $1 per day. So remember when my wife asked me, what would you give them that would guarantee, if they did it, that they could get the same results as us? Well, she also demanded that everyone could afford the program. So that's why we're doing this for a limited time. And if you'll join today, the price will never go up. You know, I'll never forget when I wrote my first book, I was so excited that I grabbed 30 copies and gave them away for free at an autism conference in which I spoke. A month later, I called all of them back, and can you guess how many had read it? One person had read the free book. I was confused. Was the book not good? Was it not helpful? So the next conference when I spoke, my wife demanded I charge $25 per book. After selling all 30 books this time and calling back a month later, can you guess how many read it? Check this out. 27 of the 30 had read it and were able to share with me specific changes they'd made that had helped them lower stress in their homes. Why had they read it? Because they had made a commitment. The same thing I'm asking you to do now. Make a commitment to helping your wife and your family and you live your best, happiest life. So to get started now, simply go to www.thrivingchaos.net/dad to get started. So how long is the membership? 1 month? 2 months? You can decide. You can do it as long as you're getting value, and you can cancel at any time. So here's another question. What would you like for your wife and family? Would you like to come home to a happy wife? Would you like lowered stress for both you and your wife and your kids? A bit of normalcy? To wake up ready to face the day with optimism and hope? To give your kids the best chance at success? Well, that's what we've done for our family and hundreds of other families now, just like yours. We've already done that, and it's what we want for you now. So, why don't you have that now? Well, frankly, it's not your fault. It's because everything you've tried wasn't designed with those goals in mind. Nothing you've done until you've discovered this program even suggested it was even possible. We're here to tell you it's not only possible, but probable, if you'll follow the recipe we've designed. Do you remember that day I knelt under that big pecan tree and felt like God reached out and gave me the guidance I needed to learn to help my family thrive? Maybe you're feeling like something like that is happening to you now. If so, do what I did immediately, that very day. I took action. It's the only way you'll ever see the kind of success you and your family deserve. It's what we did and what so many others have now done. Like June, remember the wife who sent me an email that said, "Your program has changed our family to the core. We're now happier. We know we can do this and serve our family in a way that allows us to all succeed. And we can do it with a smile on our faces." So if you're ready to start, simply go to www.thrivingchaos.net/dad to get started. But if you're still on the fence, I get it. But think about this. I hear dads all the time say, "I'd love to come home to a happy wife." And I hear moms all the time say, "I'd do anything for my child on the spectrum." Heck, we say it too, and we all will do anything, right? We spend hours, days, weeks, months, years supporting, advocating, caring for, loving, sometimes even tussling, like when our kids do not want to go to therapies or brush their teeth or, well, so many other things. Sometimes it can feel like every minute of every day and deep into the night and early morning, we're on constant call just in case something goes awry. So yeah, we would do anything for our kids on the spectrum and our typical kids and our families. We already do. But what do? When we're asked to invest what we don't have, like what happened to us a few years back? That's right. After spending all our time and thousands upon thousands on therapies, experts, and doctors that didn't result in us regaining some happiness and lowered stress in our home, we were broke, in debt, and not sure what else we could do. And right at that time, as always seems to happen, we came across an opportunity to be a part of a program that we thought maybe could really help our family. But of course, it was out of our reach because we couldn't afford anything else. Sound familiar? I'd bet. But since we had already committed to doing whatever it took to be a happy family and were willing to keep trying, we weren't going to just give up. So we decided to do two things. The first thing we did was ask ourselves, is that really true? Can we really not afford anything else? Was there something that we were spending our not much money on now that we'd trade for our family's happiness? Our answer was, of course, yes. We found some things that we were spending our money on that were not necessities, and we were willing to trade or sacrifice those things if it would give us a better chance at family happiness. For us, we had to find and trade more than $100 a month. that we didn't think we had. And looking back, we're super happy we did. Any sacrifices we've made for our family have always been worth it. Piggybacking on that, the second thing we did that really propelled us forward might seem kind of harsh, but made a huge difference in the way we viewed our family. We decided that we'd never again say, "That's too expensive," because we knew we'd do anything we could for our family. So instead of saying, "That's too expensive," we started saying, "Our family's happiness just isn't worth that investment." Wow, huh? For us, it's still painful to say, and it still hurts, and it's still rough to hear, but we still say it because it has made a huge difference in how we view and value our family happiness. Now, I'm not saying we should do and try everything. We shouldn't frivolously spend, and you probably already know what doesn't and hasn't worked. I'm just suggesting we be willing to invest in our families when we think there's a chance it could help us live a happier, more fulfilled life. You're already working crazy hard. Why not put that hard work into something that actually works? Let us help. So right now, go to www.thriveinchaos.net/dad to get started. So if you've ever thought, what can I do so that I can stop coming home to a wife that's freaking out or out of control, or there's way too much stress when I come home? Or if you've ever even considered, is this our new life? Or is there nothing we can do to make life a little easier for my wife? If you've ever thought or considered those things, this program is for you. So right now, go to www.thriveinchaos.net/dad and get started today. God bless you and your family. Work hard, stay together, and don't just survive, learn to thrive.